Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. From our flagship station in Buffalo, this is the Paul William Belts Postgame Show on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Here's your host, Brian Cozio.
5-4 overtime victory for the Pittsburgh Penguins. It felt like that ending was inevitable with the way just the game was playing out. Buffalo just, again, finding another way not to get it done on a night where they probably, you could sit here and I could talk about how they deserve 2 points. I feel like the same arguments that I made on Saturday night about them deserving 2 points could apply here. Yes, some of the circumstances may be a little bit different, but you know, this is another game again where they have to figure out a way to get a win, and they get a point, and a point sounds nice, but if you know, it's 7 o'clock this evening, if you would have said, hey, they're going to get a point tonight in Pittsburgh, I'm guessing some people would have taken that. But the way it plays out, the Sabres have a 2-goal lead and never trail until it's over when Crosby finds Sheary. And again, in a situation where there's kind of that, who's at fault for that last goal? It's probably Eichel. But he was phenomenal in the game. And, do you go after him hard for that last goal? Well, he lost Sheary. And Sheary was there, and if you give Crosby a split-second opening, he's going to take advantage of it, and he did. And Sheary's a good player, and he's able to finish it there to give Pittsburgh their first lead and their only lead and the win. 5-4, 16 seconds into the overtime. Buffalo never possessed the puck. It was a face-off, obviously, at center ice to start OT. Letang controlled things, and he brought it into the Buffalo zone. Crosby had it, circled back behind the net. Sheary, goal. Over. Just like that. On a really entertaining game, on a night where it was a very entertaining game. But the Sabres get a point, and again, it's okay. But as Rick Jeanneret astutely said at the end of the broadcast, they have to start winning. And these last two games, they've played well enough to win in both games on the road, in Montreal and in Pittsburgh, yet somehow figured out a way not to get a win. And I'm not going to sit here and say, well, this is the blame factor. This is the person that's at fault. As a team, they just got to figure it out. And tonight, you know, it was Crosby and Sheary making a really nice play. But Eichel needs to cover Sheary there. All right, let's go to the room and start things off live in Pittsburgh. Here's Sam Reinhart with Paul Hamilton.
Everything from momentum turns, early goals, late goals, and hits. First of all, how do you feel physically, personally, aside from the loss here?
After taking a hit, yeah. I feel fine. Yeah.
Good. Just the tides and turns of this game, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's frustrating. We got to do a better job of you know, we earned that lead going into the third. There's a reason why we have it. And we're playing against probably the best team in the world, the last few years. So we play with the mindset we're going to go take it to them, and we play with the lead. And then we get it, and we sit back too much, and the more opportunities you give that team, they're going to score more times than not. So we got to do a better job going into that third and still playing the same way. So it's a little frustrating. You know?
Sam, have you gained a lot of confidence in your offensive, getting your offensive ability back in the last two games?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've changed anything. Obviously, there's some bounces that go the right way, and leads to a little bit of success. So hopefully that continues.
When you're laying on the ice and you see Jack jump in, waiting to throw haymakers, I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's this group in here, and that's the kind of guy he is. He's done a really good job this year coming in and being that guy. So to see both line mates step in like that's huge.
Does that add to the disappointment that you couldn't finish the game? I mean, so many things went right, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the disappointment comes from, you know, we changed our game. And we had no business, no reason to change our game. So hopefully we can learn from that and be better next game.
Thank you, Sam. Sam Reinhart on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
Sam Reinhart leading off our blue and gold locker room report, brought to you by Fidelis Care. Quality health coverage, it's our mission. Visit fideliscare.org. I asked Paul Hamilton at the end of the second, what would you do in the third? And he said, don't change anything. But he said he thought there could be some sitting back. First interview, Sam Reinhart said, well, we might have sat back. We might have given them too many opportunities. They didn't necessarily go and press for it. You look at the shot totals, just that alone, and you might agree to that. 13 shots in the first, 13 shots in the second, just 6 in the third. Is that holding back? Statistically, that looks like it. And Pittsburgh then, of course, ends up getting the tire in the third. All right, back to the room. Jack Eichel now live in Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Brian. Jack, between the first two periods and the last period, what was different?
First two periods, I thought we tried to take it to them. Third period, we sat back, let them take it to us. Played scared to lose and not to win. So they're a good hockey team. We knew we were going to, get a hard push.
Talk about the goal that you scored. How surprised were you when that puck came to you from Crosby?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good forecheck. Kaner, Rhino getting in there, three of us. Turnover. It's good to get one. Haven't had one in a while, so hopefully that'll jumpstart me.
Jack, when you talk about how you played in those first two periods, it was evident you were able to take advantage of how they were trying to play, which is bring an extra guy down low. Just, talk about how that – I know the disappointment now, but when you play that way, you can take it to teams.
Yeah, I mean, we got to do it for 60 minutes, though. In the third period, we I thought, like I said, we were – just getting rid of pucks. We weren't forechecking too well. We were, letting them set their breakout up, and they played the whole period in our zone. Every time we got it, it was trying to get it off our stick instead of trying to find a teammate. And it's tough. Obviously, you get a lead and you're playing good, and then you only get 1 point. So we got to try and find ways to get two here. It's, it's frustrating, and we'll work on it.
What happened on the overtime goal?
I think it was just a switch, and I didn't pick up Sheary quick enough. That's on me. Kaner does a good job. I think it was Kaner that went down and played Sid, and he made a good play. He spun off pretty quickly and made a nice pass there. I wasn't expecting it. I was, trying to find my way back to the front of the net, and Sheary banks it off, Lenny's back, but, I obviously have to get a little bit closer to him. I wasn't, I was still in the midst of the switch there looking for him, and then he snuck back there. I mean, that's on me. Lenny stood in his head all night for us, so, it's a tough one.
What went through your head when you saw the Cole hit on Sam?
I don't know. I'd have to look at it again, but it just seemed like a pretty hard hit. Sam seemed pretty vulnerable, so, I think that's just part of hockey. You got to step up and try and send a message that, we're not going to let, our guys get liberties taken on them. And it's good to see. We got to stick together. We're a group in here. We win and lose together. And one of us goes down, people try and take runs at one of us. We're all there to back them up. So you saw that on that play. Everyone was in there pretty quick. So, whether it was clean or not, I don't know. I'd have to look at it again. It just seemed like it was a hard hit. And maybe Rhino seemed a little bit vulnerable. So, you obviously don't want to see that, especially, when you're on the ice. And that's when you're, good buddies and line mates and teammates that you care about. So, he would do the same for me. And I think, it goes to his locker room.
Thank you, Jack. Jack Eichel in the postgame. Brian, back to you.
Jack Eichel there and taking ownership of that game-winning goal. Yeah, I thought he was – I don't know if he was late. He says he was late, and he explained why. He said he was in the midst of switching with Kane. Kane went to the wall. Back to the room. Here's Robin Leonard now live.
Battled hard to get a point out of it. You were very sharp tonight. Your thoughts on the overall evening?
They're a good hockey team, but still loss, and it sucks.
What happened when you got hurt there?
I just tweaked tweak something. It's not an issue. It's not an issue. I'll be fine. But this one stings. I just wish, take back anything that I think we could do. I just wish we would have played a whole third period like we did after they scored a 4-4 goal. I know we got a couple of good chances after there, but after the 4-4 goals, I think we spent most of the time down their end. I think the first 11, 12, 13 minutes, whatever it was, I get what we're doing. They're a good team over out there, but I just felt like we were flipping pucks out in a neutral zone and let them come back and back and back and again. And, you know, some of the world's best players over there, they're going to do something. And we're going to learn from it. I think a lot of great areas, but it sucks losing, man.
You made over 40 saves, but what happened behind the net on that one?
On the first one?
Yeah.
Well, I go out there, see that my one guy was covered. I think we got to communicate a little better. I made a pass. Obviously, he went in front of our D and got it, but felt like I came to the right side of the net. I just think, you know, he just shut it up. It went off his skate. But again, we bounced back from that. We came out in the second period. We were up 3-1, and it was fine. I think I made some saves to make up for that. And, you know, it's hockey. And against one of the best teams in the league, when you give them some space, and yeah, it's unfortunate. I think their fourth goal is a little bit lucky too. I think he goes through like three sticks before Kessel gets his one timer. And
how about how well you guys played on the 5-on-3? I think you only saw one shot, and they blocked some shots. It seemed like there was a lot of desperation out there during those two penalties.
I felt our PK has been playing really well for the past little bit. I think PK was really sharp all game. I think their goal was a little bit of a fluke. I think I make a good save, and fortunate that Crosby was there to just put it in. But people are blocking shots. They're sacrificing themselves, and we're working as a unit in PK. But again, got 1 point, but the loss does not sit well right now.
You mentioned learning a few things. I think it was Kyle the other night that said we've learned enough lessons. I mean, how?
We have, but I mean, should we stop learning then?
No.
And, like, we're not going to give up, you know. It's and we know what spot we're in, but we also know that if we win 1, 2, 3, all of a sudden climb back up to 500, and then you never know. Yeah, it's we have to take lessons out of this. Again, there's some good teams coming up. A lot of these high-scoring teams that we've been playing lately, like, you know, Florida's one of the high-scoring teams. This team, obviously, a lot of skill. I think we have a few really good opponents coming up in the next month and a half. You know, it's a lot of good teams. So we have to know how to control, how to eat up time and do the right things. And I got to keep working on my game. And everyone got to keep working on their game and get better. But it's what it is.
Thank you, Robin. Robin Leonard on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Robin Leonard closing down there our blue and gold locker room report, brought to you by Fidelis Care. Again, Sabres fall in overtime, 5-4. Connor Sheary scoring 16 seconds in on a nice feed from Sidney Crosby. That play was very fast. Yes, Eichel needs to be aware of Sheary and get there, but boy, I mean, I guess I can understand how it happened. And as Eichel explained, he and Kane were switching. Eichel went in to take Crosby on the wall, and Kane hits him, and Crosby sees Sheary's there, and bang, the puck's there, and it's in the net already. And, you know, Leonard, you know, in that case, I don't really think he has much of a chance at all. Leonard was great. I mean, the save that he had on Sheehan in the second, save that he had on Hagelin with the glove in the second, he was very, very good. I mean, Pittsburgh ends up with 45 shots on goal. They have 5 power plays. And one of them's a 5-on-3 for 51 seconds. And you know that power play is lethal. I mean, it's Crosby, and it's Malkin, and it's Letang, and it's Hornquist, and they've got Gensel, and they've got Sheary, and they just keep rolling them out. And they got Kessel. I mean, they have got a ton of good players. It's not a fluke that they won the Stanley Cup 2 straight years. And for the Sabres to be able to do what they did on that 5-on-3, and on the power play on the night with special teams, the Sabres won that battle. All right, back to Pittsburgh. Here's Phil Housley now live.
Phil, almost to a man, the players were talking about how you played so much differently in the third period than you did in the second, and it wound up costing you a point.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think, you know, you look at a team like they have, and they've got some highly skilled forwards. And I thought we made the right decisions. You know they were going to have a push. You know, I thought we did a lot of good things tonight. You know, power play scores two goals. We get a big kill on the 5-on-3. You know, we had a shot mentality. We executed up ice on our rushes. But the bottom line is like you said, we didn't win the game. So, you know, it's just our play without the puck. It's awareness in our D zone. You know, we continue to talk about that, and we're going to have to continue to learn from that. But the bottom line is we didn't win the hockey game. We put ourselves in a position to win a hockey game, you know, going into third period with a one-goal lead. We got to be able to shut teams down. You know, there's good teams that are going to, you know, they're going to create, but we got to rely on our play without the puck and have urgency to protect the lead and then try to take advantage of mistakes the other team makes, which, you know, we came close to.
Phil, you talk about the push they had, and then your push back as well. The team didn't back down, and nor did they back down from protecting a teammate once again. Maybe just speak again to the character in a process of building something here with this group under your guidance, just a character that continues to seemingly grow here.
Well, I totally agree with you. The guys stepped up. I think we're trending in the right direction. Those last four games, you know, I think, like I said, we had a little bit of hiccup against Florida. If you look at the game against Washington, even our last game against Montreal, I think we're doing a lot of good things. But we have to realize that we have to take what the game gives us. If we have to play defense, we have to defend well. In this league, you have to defend well. You have to play well without the puck if you're going to win.
What goes through your head when you see Sam get hit and Jack and Evander both drop the gloves?
It's great. I mean, you know, you saw Georgie step up the other night, and Kaner and Jack sticking up for their teammate. It shows that, you know, this group is a very tight group. They're pulling for each other, so that's good to see.
In the 5-on-3 and the ensuing power play, you only gave up one shot. A lot of block shots. There was a lot of desperation through that. What went well in that kill that did go so well for you?
I thought we just did a terrific job of getting in shooting lanes, taking away passing lanes, and as a result, you know, we took that away. They didn't have a lot of options. And again, you know, our penalty kill has been pretty good this year. And a lot of guys are getting in the shot lane and paying a price to block shots.
Sam had his best game in a long time. What's the difference in him the last week or so, maybe?
I think when he was playing in the middle, he was really good. Positionally, I think his competitive battle level has gone up. He's capitalizing on opportunities now, and he's getting some more looks. So it's good to see him moving in a good direction. Thank you, guys.
Phil Housley on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
Phil Housley's live postgame press conference brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. 5-4, the final. Let's go right back to PBG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh. Paul Hamilton standing by for his analysis. Paul, I asked you during the second intermission, what would you like to see the Sabres do in the third? And you described exactly what you thought could happen. And every player said what you have said we've seen before about sitting back. You said, keep it going. Play this up-tempo. It's working. And if you have to win, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, if you got to win 6-5, go do it. And they sat back, and every player owned up to it, just like you said we might see.
Yeah, they talked about how they were just flipping pucks out, and they weren't really doing a breakout or anything like that. It was just hold on and hope you get through it, and they almost did. But you know how Malkin and Crosby are against the Sabres, and they did it again. They all these comebacks that we've described in the past 2, 3, 4 years, 3-goal comebacks, everything, Malkin and Crosby have been the catalysts of the whole thing. And even though Crosby came in slumping, he did it again, scored a goal, even though he gave away a goal to Eichel. I mean, but he scores one, then he sets up the game winner, and that's just a young mistake on the game winner. I mean, Jack Eichel's got to take Sherry there, and he, you know, winds up just watching behind the net as Kane and Crosby do battle. And I didn't think Kane did a bad job. Crosby's just a great player, and he's going to get that out there, and he's going to put it right on the tape. And it's, you know, when you're 3-on-3, it's 1-on-1. Everybody's got a man, and that was Jack's man, and he just wasn't aware that he was there and didn't cover him.
Paul Eichel had, I thought, a very good game. He also owned up to the fact that he thought he should have been quicker to cover Sheary on the game winner.
Oh, absolutely. He knew it. And but you're right. He did have a good game. And what he did for Sam Reinhart goes a long way. As you were saying, you know, a lot of people probably don't want Jack Eichel dropping the gloves. And I totally understand where you're coming from for that. But still, I'm 1,000% fine with it. I mean, he was there in a flash, and then Evander Kane saw that Jack's getting involved, and he got involved. And Evander Kane might be one of the toughest guys on the team. So, they were all there for each other, and that's a good thing. There were a lot of things to help them momentum-wise in this game, and at times they took advantage of the momentum. I mean, that play, they score right in the beginning of the second period, 16 seconds in. They score with 6.7 seconds left in the second period to take the lead back. I mean, there are a lot. You know, the 5-on-3 kill was phenomenal. I mean, they did a great job. So much desperation that you saw there, and you know, did a phenomenal job with that. So there were so many times that they would grab the momentum from the Penguins, but yet in the end, they still can't get it done. They did get a point out of it, which they usually don't get. They usually wind up losing, going away out of here. But, you know, they get a point out of it. But quite frankly, just another game we're sitting here talking about where they should have gotten two.
Paul, just a quick thought on Leonard's night. We mentioned the great jaw-dropping saves in the second, but, I mean, he faced 45 shots and a lot of power play opportunities.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. Unfortunately for him, though, he gave that puck away behind the net. And they banked it in off O'Reilly. Why, Leonard's still behind the net. So that's, you know, a minus there. That's a goal he gives up that it's not, you know, a goal he's not even in the net for. But it's the pass that he makes, and that's the second time that's happened to him fairly recently. So, but overall, he makes over 40 saves and made some phenomenal saves along the way. And really, at times, battled through screens, battled through bodies to be able to see pucks and to dive at pucks and to dive forward. And, you know, you would say he probably deserves a better fate, but one of the goals, as I said, is totally on him.
Paul, have a safe flight. I know you said they're coming back, and then they go back on the road for Detroit on Friday.
That is correct. Yeah, but kind of weird road trip. I don't know if I've ever done a road trip like this where it's three separate cities in a row, but it's back and forth because it's spread out so much.
Yep. Paul, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you Friday.
Okay.
Okay, Paul Hamilton in Pittsburgh. Yes, they are Sabres and Paul flying home tonight, and then they're on the road on Friday in Detroit. That's a 7:30 puck drop. Sabres will return home on Saturday for Carolina. Of course, that's a 7 game. And we'll have both those games right here on the Sabres Radio Network. All right, 5-4, Pittsburgh wins it. When we come back, we'll get you some more highlights, stats, breakdown, Dan Cave's check of the NHL scores. But for all of our local affiliates, we're going to say goodnight to you. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com or on the WGR550 app. And for all of you on our flagship on Sports Radio 550, more of the Paul William Belts postgame coming up. Pittsburgh comes back 5-4. Connor Sheary, the winner in overtime. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Sabres gain possession, and it's cleared, but not out. Kicked in there by the Penguins again, right in front of the net. The shot. Oh, Leonard, my goodness. That was labeled, absolutely labeled, and Leonard just stole one.
That save from Robin Leonard, Rick Jenneret on the call on Carl Hagelin. Monster glove saved. Game was tied at 3 late in the second period. And a few moments later, Benoit Pouliot gave Buffalo a 4-3 lead. But that save of the game is brought to you by your local GEICO agents. Save 15% in just 15 minutes. Get your free GEICO quote from local agent Scott Kultman or Tim Lynch. Welcome back to the Paul William Belt postgame show. I'm Brian Colziel, 5-4. Pittsburgh winning it in overtime tonight. Time for our top shelf goal of the game. Well, unfortunately, we know how this one ends. The game winner, Crosby, lightning quick pass to find Sheary in front.
shot into Buffalo territory by Letang. Letang and throws it out, and that's kicked away by Leonard. Crosby going after it. Crosby around behind the Buffalo net. He's got Kane all over him. Kane out in front. They score. Sheary at the side of the net taps it in behind Leonard, and Pittsburgh wins it in overtime.
Sheary, second of the night, the game winner. Pittsburgh controlled the puck for the only 16 seconds in the overtime that you saw. And you heard it right there. Rick called the entire overtime for you on that highlight. Sheary's eighth from Crosby and Letang, 5-4 Pittsburgh. That's your top shelf goal of the game, brought to you by Clarence Kitchen Design Studio. For a beautiful top shelf in your dream kitchen, visit Clarence Kitchen Design Studio and start dreaming. Before we get some more things done here on the show, let's grab a couple calls, 803-0550. Let's start it off with Brian in Williamsville. Hi, Brian. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to say the offense came to play, but the power play tonight, the defense was pretty good because they started hitting finally. And when Leonard got a little bit nicked off, I'm surprised he just didn't say the heck with it. I'm out. Maybe I'm really hurt. Maybe I'm not sure, but I'd had Johnson in there at that point if I was Phil Housley, and I wouldn't have taken any chances with maybe a franchise goalie.
Thank you, Brian. I think that probably at that point it's on Leonard. If he feels good, I think that it's his call to stay in. And he was playing great, so I don't have a problem with him staying in, just because it wasn't like, you know, if they're down 5-1 and you're worried about him in any capacity and the game's over at that point, maybe I could see the argument. But he was excellent and he wanted to stay. And obviously, if the trainers felt there wasn't any sort of at harm at risk, then I'm fine, I guess, with how it played out. Thanks for the call. 803-0550 is the number. Final shot totals. Pittsburgh 45, Buffalo 32. Power plays, the Sabres win this category. They go 2 of 3. Pittsburgh 1 of 5. Your three stars, Sam Reinhart. Quality game tonight for Buffalo. He's the third star. He had a goal and an assist. Patrick Hornquist, he is the second star. He had a goal and an assist as well. And Connor Sheary, 2 goals, including the game winner. He's star number one. And Connor Sheary tonight is our high-impact player of the game, brought to you by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. You'll travel 1,000 miles to find a store like ours. The attendance at PBG Paints Arena, 18,438. And the Sabres will next play on Friday as this 3-game road trip continues, with them coming home in between each time. 7:30 puck drop, 6:30 pregame. The Sabres and the Red Wings from the new Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. So we'll have that for you right here on the Sabres Radio Network. And then Saturday, Buffalo is home for a 7 o'clock puck drop with the Carolina Hurricanes. And we'll have pregame at 6 for that one. So hope you can be with us throughout those games right here on the Sabres Radio Network. All right, next we go to Jim on the postgame show. Hi, Jim. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just 2 points, one about Eichel, one about Lehner. I just laugh now because whenever Lehner does something really dumb, the color commentator guys say, oh, it was a bad break. The dude was out of the net. That's how that goal got scored at the end of the first period. He's out of position. And Lehner is going to make 5 or 6 or 7 great saves a game and let in a goal that he shouldn't. He always does. And then on to Eichel. This guy is at like 43%, I think, on his faceoffs, right? He loses the faceoff in the overtime. Then he lets the guy go in front of the net who scores the game-winning goal. So like, it's like, put this guy on the wing because he cannot win a faceoff, and just stop putting him out on the ice in any situation where he's going to be a defensive liability because he's worthless defensively.
All right, Jim. Well, probably your request is not going to happen. I mean, he's their best offensive player. He's going to be on the ice. He's going to get a ton of ice time. This team tanked on purpose. They lost on purpose for years so that they could get a Jack Eichel or a Connor McDavid, and, well, it ends up being Jack Eichel. So, yes, on that goal, he needs to cover Connor Sheary. But I think when it comes to defensive woes, I wouldn't sit here and say that he's at the top of the list of the blame game. I think there are other forwards at times that at least he can skate with some of these guys. I'm not saying he's perfectly defensively. Yes, he had a piece of that game-winning goal. There's no doubt about it tonight. And he owned up to it. So it's not like he was deflecting it in any capacity. But, I mean, this franchise put itself on a path to get him. So in terms of him being out there in the overtime, he's going to be out there in the overtime. I want him to be out there in the overtime because he's the one that can put the puck in the net. You know, his face-offs to me, 43%, like, I don't know. It is what it is. I mean, if you want to sit here and get picky, we can go across the board. Larson, 4 out of 13. He was 31%. You know, who else took draws tonight? The only Sabre over 50% was Ryan O'Reilly. So, yes, in the OT, he lost it. And Pittsburgh gained control, and they never got it back. That sequence, you want to put it on Eichel a little, that's fine. But I would want him on the overtime to start every time, in my opinion. Thanks for the call. 5-4 Pittsburgh, the final. Let's step aside. We will have more on the postgame. Dan Cave's check of the night in sports also coming up here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
On to Scandella. He'll drop it back. Fault through the middle. Oh, and Reinhardt got nailed by Cole. And now Eichel jumped in to go after Cole. And that draws a crowd, and everybody's pairing off, and the officials are trying like heck to make peace.
The hit on Reinhardt, well, it was definitely the hit that was talked about the most, and Eichel's response, it's all part of our Seneca Poker deck of the game. Brought to you by Seneca Poker, inside the Seneca Niagara Casino, the real deal for winners only. Pittsburgh in overtime over Buffalo, 5-4. Connor Sheary wins at 16 seconds in. Brian Colziel with you here on the postgame. Hey, if you can't join us on the phones during the game, you just got to get something off your mind. You can always text us your thoughts on the AT&T text line. That number is 550-550. Switch to AT&T Wireless and DirecTV today and stay connected all season long. AT&T. Entertainment your way. Well, Dan. Dan Cave, well, everyone. It was a pretty entertaining game.
Yeah.
Which ended, as we were watching the third and watching the Sabres sit back, you and I were sitting here saying, we kind of know what the final part of the script's going to be.
Yeah.
It's too bad, but for two periods, that was a lot of fun because there hasn't been a lot of fun periods to watch this team this year. Both ways. Even if you're, I mean, or if you're just a casual hockey fan, a fan of neither team, but just you like watching hockey, those first two periods were very good.
It was great. It was really entertaining. It was fast-paced. There were a lot of shots, obviously a lot of goals. You had the central players for Buffalo putting pressure on Murray that you'd want to see. Eichel, Reinhardt, Evander Kane getting in the mix. It was a lot of fun for the first two periods. And
it's too bad that Eichel, Kane, and Reinhardt can't just be on the ice all the time.
That would be great. If this was NHL 94 and you turned off line changes, that would be the case.
That's true.
However, you cannot do that in real life. But Eichel and Reinhardt both alluded to it afterwards, and Leonard, for that matter. Oh, everyone who spoke to Paul during the post game all said the same thing. You know, they came out during the third period and didn't play the way that they did for the first 40 minutes, and that led to Pittsburgh ultimately tying the game and then winning it in overtime, which is too bad because they deserve better tonight.
As they did Friday against Montreal, but this team just keeps finding ways to either lose or not get the full 2 points, and it's going to cost them in the standings. Now, speaking of the standings, well, you know what? We'll talk about the standings in a moment. Let's hear how the night went first.
All right.
And then we'll reflect on the standings.
Let's do that right now. All right, let me tell you.
Around the league we go.
Yes.
Dan Cave, everyone.
We're going around the league. And it's brought to you by Jim Murphy Buick GMC, JimMurphyCars.com, serving Western New York since 1985. Two of the other 7 o'clock starts also went to overtime tonight. The Blue Jackets beat the Canadiens in OT 2-1 on Zach Werenski's game winner. A shootout, meanwhile, in Florida, where the Panthers top the Stars 4-3 is the final there. Game still going on. Third period in Nashville. The Predators lead the Capitals 6-3, while the Wild are on top of the Flyers. It's still 1-0 on Nino Niederreiter's third goal of the season. That one with about 2 minutes to go in Minnesota. Halfway through the third in Winnipeg, Jets lead the Coyotes 4-1. Joel Armia finding the net tonight with his third of the season. The Oilers are all over the Golden Knights 4-0 Edmonton in the second. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins goal number 7 on the season for Edmonton. Just about ready to get underway in LA, where the Kings tonight host the Canucks. Men's college basketball, battle of the top two teams in the country. Number 1 Duke outlasts number 2 Michigan State, 88-81, 37 points for Grayson Allen. Meanwhile, fourth-ranked Kansas leads number 7 Kentucky in the first half, 26-23. Elsewhere tonight, Syracuse beats Iona 71-62, and Canisius falls to Air Force 93-79. I'm Dan Cave with Around the League. Brian, back to you.
Great college basketball matchups tonight, as you mentioned there. Duke holding on 1-2, and now I'm looking forward to going home and watching the second half of Kansas and Kentucky.
Yeah, I could get behind that. Are you inviting me over?
I'm not. It is.
Oh, okay.
You can come over.
Thank you.
That's right.
I accept.
Classic, just great uniform matchup there too. Kansas and Kentucky in their
y'all always
white and
like
blue.
To see the good. And the first game had the uniforms going too.
Duke and their royal blues. Thank you. Not their blacks.
Not the blacks tonight. No.
Yeah, they looked really nice.
Royal blues.
I'm excited that college basketball season is up and going.
As am I. I'm looking forward to it.
I saw UB and Canisius on Saturday, and that was a great game locally. Mm-hmm. And
big things out of
the big guns are on display tonight.
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You got the top ranked teams. But big things for UB men and women this season.
They are both preseason number 1 in the media poll.
Yeah.
St. Bonaventure was ranked, I believe, by CBS Sports as the number 1 team in New York State. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Yes. So how about this? The
poll, better than Syracuse.
Yes. Okay. Well, Syracuse was actually 3.
Okay.
St. John's was ranked 2nd.
Oh.
Then Syracuse at 3.
Wow.
Yeah. So Bonaventure, high expectations.
All right.
Yeah.
And then Canisius, they were frisky against UB, as you mentioned, over the weekend.
Those games are good. It's 3 years in a row now. Canisius and UB have had really epic games. The previous two gone to overtime. This one could have gone to overtime. Yeah. Canisius was down 3 with the ball, 4 seconds left, and they turned it over.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a 3 off, they're a good three shooting team, and we could have had 3 years
nice
in a row.
It's nice to have college basketball back, isn't it?
I agree.
Yeah.
All right, Dan, it's nice to have you back as well on the broadcast.
Thanks.
We appreciate it. So Friday we get the Wings and the Sabres. Does this make you feel any better as we look at the standings?
Okay.
The Sabres, even though they are still, you know, scrapping points here and there, mm-hmm. the final playoff spot right now in the East has the Rangers with 20 points. The Sabres have 14. Does that make you feel any better or worse? Or nothing. No reaction. Six back.
Better than what? It makes me feel not bad.
6 points back of what would be the last team in.
Yeah, I'm kind of okay with that. Although then you look at opportunities like tonight and Saturday night and say, well, shoot, if they had gotten 2 more points, a.k.a. if they had won both of those
they
games.
They would have 16 instead of 14. And guess what? Detroit has 18. Which
so
then you could have tied them on Friday.
Right. That's true. But you still have to look at it and say the difference at this point. I mean, you can't keep letting it pile up, but ultimately at this point in the season, middle of November, you can't exactly say the difference between 4 and 6 points out of a playoff spot if you're looking at such things at this point is that big of a difference. Still,
you have to at some point, yes, you have to at some point to me, this is what I think should be the goal of this team. Mm-hmm. I'm probably, this is not going to go up on a poster in the wall of the Sabres dressing room.
Okay.
But my thought is by the end of the 2017 portion of the schedule,
the calendar year,
they need to have more points than they have games played.
Okay. All right. That's a good goal.
Because right now you've got 18 games and 14 points.
Sure.
So you've got to make up that 4 at some point. But if you have more points than games played, then you still have a full 3 months. Because if you have a point a game, that's 82 for 82.
Correct.
And 82, they didn't even have 82 last year.
They did not.
So, and we know the playoffs in the East probably is in that low 90 range.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're ahead of your games played and you're entering the second half of the year, which we hope with Phil Housley, maybe the system going better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have more points than you do games, and obviously they're not going to have 82 at the end of 2017, well, maybe you can be on pace to be upper 80s or near 90, which would at least at the very least put you in the race.
Well, I think it's
which is what probably many fans are just hoping for. Like, hey, can January and February and March have actually games that mean something?
Yeah, it's something to shoot for. And if they can continue to play, even though they haven't translated to wins, but if they can continue to play like they have the last two or three games, you'd like to think that those would eventually turn into wins instead of overtime losses or just flat-out losses, and then maybe that goal could be achieved. And that's, like I said, that's something to at least shoot for. I mean, we kind of talked about it during our Breeders' Cup show a couple of weeks ago. For as bad as the season has gone, I mean, and okay, they're in last place in the division, but you look at the standings and it's like, well, you know, it's could be worse.
Together.
It could be Arizona, you know, which is sometimes how you feel around here. But they keep getting points with these overtime losses, so they're at least staying relatively close.
It feels like the way that these games have felt a lot of the times, it feels like their record should reflect what Arizona's record really is.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not dead, but they're in a hole.
Right.
But as I said, I think that would be my...
I think it's a good goal.
That's my poster in the Sabres room.
Okay.
Must have more points than games played by the end of 2017.
I like it.
I think that's a fair goal.
That's your poster in the Sabres room.
That's my poster.
We'll have
in
to
the
see.
Room.
We'll have to talk to Paul next week.
See
and
if he
see
thinks
if
that's
in
a,
there.
See, yes, I'm sure they'll have to do.
Yeah.
And we can ask Paul if that's a fair goal to have.
Okay. I can't wait to see what he says.
That's right. He always is very open to my ideas.
Yeah, yeah, usually.
That's right. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks.
We'll talk Friday with the Sabres and the Red Wings, and that will put a wrap on our Paul William Belts postgame tonight. I want to thank our crew here in-house, TJ Luckman, our network producer, Kyle Power working inside on our social media and our sound. Thank you, Kyle. Dan Cave, great to have you back here anchoring tonight. Our pregame show hosts was Shopo the Bulldog. Our game announcers were Rick Jenneret and Rob Ray. My name is Brian Colziel. The final again in overtime, Pittsburgh 5, Buffalo 4. We'll talk on Friday with the Sabres and the Red Wings right here on the Sabres Radio Network. Well, pick me up with golden hand. Well, I would like to hold my little hand. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.